Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
All right, my minions, all right. It's Sunday afternoon. Sunday. Well, you know what that means. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is time when we spend 1 hour do nothing but talk about racing with our guys from over at Speed Talk. Make sure you don't miss an hour. It's the fastest hour in radio, I guarantee it. Right here on the Balance Radio Network. Join Cliff and Kenny as they break down this week's in racing. I know for a fact that they're going to have a guest that we had here on the Balance Radio Network yesterday, Josh Timmerman, on the show with them as well. And, you know, they like to talk about it like this, just like two guys sitting around having breakfast or whatever, talking about racing. Obviously, as things progress with them and the new Speed Talk, as we heard, they had their very first last Sunday right here on the Balance Radio Network. Well, guys, the Indianapolis Colts are on a bye this week. So what do? You sit around and you watch other football. I'll tell you what, make sure you don't miss the Fantasy Football Huddle. We do this every Saturday morning right around 10:30 or so. We sit around and we talk about how to set up your fantasy football lineup, who to start, who to set, you know, buy, sell, or trade. And we really get into all of that as well. And we also try to have some time to talk about our picks. And we also spend some time talking some college football, NFL, racing all the way around. It's right here on the Balance Radio Network. We do the Balance every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here. And I tell you what, it's a show that you do not want to miss. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, TBalance, as well as on our sister company, Indy Pro Sports, Pro Indy. Find us on Facebook. Just search The Balance or IndyProSports.com. So I'll tell you what, guys, we've got a full coverage for you from everything from college football to racing to the NFL to the NBA to the MLB to the postseason as we move into the Fall Classic here. We've got it for you right here on the Balance Radio Network. So make sure that you stick to it and follow us on all the different social medias. We're looking around the NFL league right now as we go into the second half of the of Sunday. Obviously, like I said, the Colts are on a bye week. Baltimore over Cleveland, as we know, on Thursday. No big surprise there. Atlanta did pull that one out against Carolina, 30-28. New England, man, are they back? Is Tom Brady back? 52-28. Minnesota over Detroit. Now, you look at the two games that Minnesota's been able to string together over the last 2 weeks against some really good teams. And I wouldn't totally say that Minnesota is down for the count just yet. They're over Detroit 20-13. Houston over Tennessee 38-14. And San Diego Chargers over the Kansas City Chiefs. And San Francisco 49ers are back with the vengeance, and they were not going to be taken lightly by the New York Jets, 34-0. And final out in Seattle, St. Louis pulls out a win against the Seahawks. And right now, here in the Balance Studios, we're watching the Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. Peyton Manning and his crew up 10-3 out there in Denver at Mile High Stadium. Well, guys, I know you tuned in to talk some racing, not necessarily about football. So we're going to get you right over to the guys from Speed Talk. And we're going to catch you guys Saturday morning, my minions, right here from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Balance Radio Network. Without further ado, here's Speed Talk.
It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I am not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm
ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard.
He's our Joe Biden.
You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Hello, race fans, and welcome to show number two of the new Speed Talk era. We've got Steve Tiny Michaels running the boards for us and making us sound good. And we got Kenny Barr with me, new co-host. Welcome, buddy.
He must be a miracle worker. Makes us sound good.
Yes, he does. Well, I'm Cliff Tanner, and hey, we had quite a week in racing, in all kinds of different racing. We're going to talk about all kinds of things. But apparently, in all of this, Kenny, we've got a new sports hero who thought he was Babe Ruth. We'll talk about that a little bit. A great name out of Indianapolis or around the Indianapolis area, I should say, in the Indianapolis 500.
Sure.
And you'll recognize that. And another generation becomes a winner. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Only one of three women who ever won a feature at Winchester Speedway in its 100-year history.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later. We're going to talk some NASCAR, NHRA, all that good stuff. And don't forget, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, catch all of this. Again, that's RadioSpeedTalk.com. Catch all of our shows, your local affiliates. You can go to Facebook.com and / RadioSpeedTalk. And you can also catch us on Twitter. Kenny's at KennyBar52, and I'm at RadioSpeedTalk2. No, that doesn't mean I'm second best. It's just, hey, that's the new number of the new NASCAR champion at the end of this year.
Well, that's an optimistic spin on that. I think I heard the original story, and it's got not a lot to do with Keselowski, but we'll take that. That's the new show. We're going to go with the new outlook.
Yeah, we'll take it, whatever it goes on. But, hey, check us out all the time, man. If you had any comments, make sure you go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Let us know what you feel about the new show. Any ideas? We got a lot of cool things coming up, Kenny. Pretty soon we'll be getting we've got some great interviews getting lined up for us, some legends.
Yes.
And, you know, both in the local and national era.
The sooner the better. I'm really interested in talking to two or three of them. We're not going to let the cat out of the bag, but you need to stay tuned. It's coming up shortly.
That's right, man. All kinds of goodies coming in. Again, let's talk a little bit about NASCAR first, then we'll talk some NHRA. There's some changes there going on in NHRA we'll talk about. But Denny Hamlin has a horrible finish last week, runs out of gas, twitters to the nation that he's going to win this one. He's going to Babe Ruth that baby. And he pulls it off. Now, question number one, conspiracy?
No. Hell no.
I love getting you guys fired up about conspiracies. But, I mean, it came out of nowhere, man. I mean, he qualified, I think it was 32nd.
Well, yeah, but they had some tire pressure issues in qualification. The tire man flat goofed. They figured it out quick. They had a come-to-Jesus meeting. He promised to never, ever, ever, never, ever do it again. And everybody in the starting grid even were kind of thinking about running for second place. I mean, Hamlin had that field covered from the get-go. Nobody even dreamed of trying to catch him. They were hoping he would have a mechanical problem or, you know, some dumb like run out of gas or a shock fall off. Oh, that wasn't him a couple weeks ago.
That was Kenseth, right?
They were looking for some sort of mechanical problem to break him out because they certainly weren't going to outrace him. I mean, he had 3/10 on the field all day long. And, you know, of course, Darian Grubb kind of hid the laptop screen there when the camera angle went over his shoulder. There's nothing. There's no big secret there. He just was playing games with him, getting in everybody's head.
Well, I got to tell you that. The NASCAR Twitter world has gone afire because when we were down in Winchester, you know, we didn't get to see the race because we were down there. But I was checking my Twitter every once in a while, and Kenny Wallace was fielding a lot of questions. Apparently, a lot of NASCAR Nation believes that there was some cheating going on.
Well, sure. Anytime somebody dominates that way, they're going to think somebody's got an unfair advantage somewhere along the line. That's why they have, you know, the room of doom and the post-race inspections. And I don't think that they're going to favor any one particular guy, unless his name's Junior, to win anything in particular. Because, like I said last week, I think the best thing that could happen to NASCAR from a marketing standpoint is if Dale Jr. won the whole shooting match. So, and he came in, I don't know, what, 18th or so. So to have Hamlin go out there and just hand it to them and just whip them really bad, they just found something that nobody else had. They changed an interesting rule I heard about differential bushings and rear axle bushings. And I got a funny feeling those boys figured out a way to get that thing to move and twist a little bit more than everybody else. Because when you can get that rear end to dog track a little bit more or change the I don't want to use the term wheelbase because you're really not changing the wheelbase, but you're changing the angle of how that differential goes into the corner. That'll let that car roll through the corner a lot smoother, and then you can get the gas a lot quicker, and out, obviously out of the corner you come. They've got something figured out that nobody else has, including their teammates, and they didn't share it with anybody. So everybody will catch up with them pretty quick, but Hamlin had the field covered. It was one of the most boring races of the year. Nobody broke out. All the chasers finished, I think, what, 18th or higher. There wasn't any big fights. There wasn't any big controversies. I listened to a lot of interviews after the fact, and I almost went to listen to the music because the interviews are even boring. So
right. Well, Greg Biffle was the one that finished 18th, and then you had Martin Truex was 17th, Kenseth was 14th, Dale Jr. was 13th.
Okay.
Harvick was 11th, but the top seven were all chase contenders, and you really don't see that often during chase time anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of unusual, but it's going to happen now and then. I mean, this is what the what year is this now? The sixth year, seventh year for the chase? No, it's longer than that. Seventh year for the chase. So, you know, the numbers are going to wash out that way every once in a while. And they're chasers for a reason. I mean, they've had a better season than everybody else.
Actually, I think we're wrong, but I think we're closer to 10 because Jimmy's got five of them.
Yeah, he's going to have six ways running. Oh, my.
Because he finished second. He still puts him 1 point up. Kenny Hamlin caught him. Here's another guy that amazed me. Last week he has bad luck. He takes the pole, he finishes third, strong. Is that going to push the momentum up? Is that going to help Jeff Gordon get back up to the top?
Well, it'll help, but he's got 11 guys he's looking up at, which is the problem. You know, the fact that he's, what, 47 in a hole or however many points he's in a hole is not that big of a deal when you talk number-wise, but you got all these other guys that are doing the same thing in competition. So you got to get over the 11th guy and the 10th guy and the 9th guy. And you may be running well, but two or three of them guys could be running just as well as you are. And you're just going to chase them to, you know, it's like playing basketball. You can't exchange baskets all day long when you're down by 10.
Right.
You got to gain on them somehow here and there. And that first race mulligan that Gordon had, he's just got to hope that everybody has one.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I mean, he is, he moved up with the win. But, you know.
He's still in 12th, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still in 12th. He's got a lot of making up to do. But
he can't go any further down.
And I was wrong. Denny Hamlin had moved into third with 7 down. Brad Keselowski is the one that dropped second with that because he finished in the top 7, but not quite. Tony Stewart still kind of surprised me. He's hanging around. He's 10 down, and you got Casey Kane, Clint Boyer, each 15 down. But, man, I hate to tell you, Junior Nation, you might as well forget it because he's 26 down, and we all know he hasn't been dominant enough to win races. If he stays on the current track that he's going, it's not going to happen, and you know it. I know you're giving me that evil eye. I know NASCAR would love to see it.
You can't write anybody off this early.
No, you can't.
Way
but I'm going to say I'm going to go out. But, you know, he still had a great year.
Well, you can predict all you want. I mean, heck, we never know anyway.
But I still say Greg Biffle, you know, could come out of nowhere, and he's 33 down. But it's going to take some serious stuff. And with 8 races, you know, we got Talladega, which is a crapshoot all the time.
You giving up on Keselowski already?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying these are some of the guys. Keselowski, I still stand firm. I think he's going to win. I really do.
Well, I hope he does. You know, that's a second generation thing going on. Besides, we both picked him, so we better get it going and put some points up on the board. He's only got 8 more to go, you know.
You know, the funny thing is Kyle Busch is 1,200. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't make the chase. That's right.
Yeah. Isn't that a real bummer? Neither one of the Bushes did.
But you know
who's
been
kind of
surprising me, though? And I'm surprised not to interrupt you, and I apologize for that. But Clint Boyer has been quietly staying consistent here lately.
Yeah, the Kansas boys are doing well. Well, and that old Michael Waltrip Racing thing, they've got those cars dialed in from the get-go right out of the gate this year. The serious changes they made at the beginning of the year has been paying off dividends, and now they're in the chase, and you know the sponsors absolutely got to love that. And he's another one. Watch out for him. Doing well. Good driver, consistent. Don't get too mad at too many people very often.
Right. Well, now we're going into what is Denny Hamlin's worst track.
Yes.
Because he has an average of finished 20 over, what is it, 8 years now?
Yeah, the Monster Mile.
Yeah, the Monster Mile. And, you know, we all know who loves to dominate that track quite a bit. So is he going to increase a huge lead?
No, he's not going to increase it huge. He might increase it a little bit, but I don't think he's going to increase it all that much. And, yeah, gosh, that's why you got to tune in and, you know, stay awake for the last 30 laps because you never know who's going to be where.
just a little bit, but I don't think he's going to.
All right. We just talked a little bit about that. Let's talk about the biggest surprising news coming out of NASCAR this week. You and I were shocked, but not so shocked, if that makes any sense. You take a team like Furniture Row. He's got Regan Smith in there. He's been, you know, not necessarily real consistent, but he's had some good finishes. You know, he's been doing a good job with the car. A clean organization with a, you know, clean, what's the word I want to use? Reputation.
Reputation, yep. They don't get
in any
trouble.
And then you bring in one of your favorite boys.
Yeah.
And he signs with them.
I don't think so.
Reagan Smith goes out. Does Reagan find another ride?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, he was on the fast track with Roush a couple, 3 years ago, and that kind of fell apart, which is how he ended up falling into the Furniture Row deal out in Denver. When I heard that last night, I called you on the phone right away, and I'm still kind of half stunned because Kurt Busch tore up a ton of equipment this year. One time he was down to one car. They had 15 cars in the stable. He had screwed up 14 of them bad enough where they didn't have time to fix them to get ready to go to the next race, because Finch Racing is not, and Phoenix Racing is not, I would say, a top-financed team. I mean, they got enough money to go racing every week and stuff, but it's not like they got extra guys just laying around the shop building cars every week or rebuilding cars every week. And he ripped up, we counted them one day, it was 14 cars in about an 18 or 19 week window. So they must like to weld and grind and cut and rebuild and do all sorts of stuff. I think it's goofy. I think I'd have stayed with Regan Smith.
You taking that from the aspect of a crew chief slash car owner, you know, to a point. My thing is, you take a man like that, who, I mean, he lost a great ride with Penske because of his temper.
Right.
I literally watched him have a cussing match and complain that he got fined with Ron White, the comedian, down at Eldora. And it was quite interesting. I wish I'd have had a great microphone there, because we'd have been YouTubed all over the country, I guarantee you on that one. Anyway, you take a guy with an attitude, you take a guy that wrecks equipment, as you say, and you take a clean-cut kid, and by the way, it's David Reagan that was with Roush, not Reagan Smith, wasn't it?
Now I got to look. So go ahead, keep going
anyway,
about Mr. Crash, I mean Mr. Busch.
I'm just shocked take an organization who, by the way, on top of that, goes clear out to Colorado when everybody's down here in North Carolina or surrounding areas. And just not, I don't want to say a Christian attitude, but you know, a very clean-cut, cool race car driver, and they bring this guy in. Is that going to damage either one?
Yeah. He won't damage Busch. He's already damaged goods in my eyes. It'll screw up Furniture Row. I don't think they're going to go forward. I think they're going to go backwards. You just can't have a guy with that attitude out there trying to appease your sponsors, tearing up equipment. I mean, I realize that Regan Smith has only won one race down at Darlington or Talladega, I forget which. But he has moved that organization forward as a driver quite a ways from where they started. And they think Kurt Busch is going to jump in that driver's seat and take them to the next level. And I think they're just going to stay where they're at, or maybe even slide backwards.
Yeah, they're going to have some issues. When we come back, I want to talk about one other driver that I have really been impressed with. We'll talk about that for just a few minutes. Then we go into the NHRA and some of the drama that happened down there, some changes in the Pro Stock motorcycle. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. Cliff and Kenny coming at you. Hi, welcome back. We've got, again, Tiny Behind the Boards, Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner coming at you at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Go there and check out everything going on and your local affiliates. Again, give us some feedback on what you like, what you don't like, see what we might be able to help you out with. Well, Kenny, you know what? I want to talk about one driver in NASCAR that has really impressed me this year, and I've said
health
reasons and some health issues that he was not able to race for almost a year, but he come back and obviously let go. Ryan Vickers, man, I'm telling you what, he's been in four races, and he's finished in the top 15 every race for Michael Waltrip Racing, and it's the car that Mark Martin drives.
Yeah, if he don't find a full-time ride, I'll be shocked. He's come back good, strong, with a vengeance. Everything seems to be clicking for him again. He's with Michael Waltrip Racing, who's made all the leaps and bounds of improvements from last year to this year. He's in a car that Mark Martin drives, like you said, and Mark Martin is nothing short of probably the best mentor in NASCAR. If you were driving for somebody or had somebody teaching you to drive or filling in a seat for somebody, as long as they had a big boy seat, because Mark's just an itty-bitty guy. You've probably seen him on those Aaron's commercials. He stands next to Mike Walthrop, who's 6'4", and I think Mark is actually 5'4", 5'5". So they swap seats out because you're not going to get in that thing. You're going to be good. You're going to be good. The car's always good every week in and week out. And Martin will teach you what you need to know and not overload you with too much information. And I think that's exactly what's happened to Brian Vickers. He landed in a pretty neat deal there.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit real quick about A.J. Allmendinger. I forgot about it. We got to bring this up a little bit.
Do we really?
Yes, just real quick.
Well, you're the host. Through.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, we talked about because we wanted to do a little more research, and he did complete his class. And I guess the reason they let him in is because it wasn't an illegal substance, you know, like some of the other guys were, and he claims he made a mistake. The surprising thing was, number one, in the IRL championship, he was actually a guest of Penske because rumor has it that he's going to be driving IRL for Penske. But now Penske comes back last week and says, I would give Allmendinger another chance. What do you think about that?
In the same car? Yeah.
He gave it to Logano.
It's not normal.
That's dumb, too. Here we go, you know. I listened to last week's show and thought I was amazingly opinionated, and here we go again. That's dumb. I still think Joey Logano's a year away from really being in a cup car on a consistent basis and being any kind of threat at all to be a top 20 driver. Although, I guess, point standing-wise, he was this year, but it just they brought him along too quick.
Bad or good.
Yeah, but sometimes a change of team, a change of scenery, a change of chemistry is a good thing for a driver. I think Sam Hornish is going to be the god man out, which I think is a shame.
I agree.
Because he's one of those few guys that we talked about last week that seems to have been able to convert his talents from open wheel to fendered cars that are heck of a lot heavier. And he was in the big show for a while, and they bumped him back, let him learn, and now he in an emergency situation, doing quite well, I thought, for Penske. And I hope Penske finds a way to reward him and take care of him and keep him in the fold because he's going to be a good driver for somebody down the road. So Allmendinger, I don't know. I never have been a great big fan of him anyway. He hasn't really impressed me much. He was long before it was a one-year deal that he was on. And, you know, this sport is what have you done for me, not lately, but yesterday.
Right.
And he really wasn't performing all that well. Hornish has got that car going well, better finishes, toward the front more often. I don't know. I think I'd just leave Sam in the thing. But I'm sure there's contractual agreements and all sorts of other things that are involved in there that I don't understand. But from a fan standpoint and a think-I-know-it-all co-host on a radio show, I'd rather pick Sam Hornish Jr. than anybody. Besides, he's from around here, you know, not from around Defiance,
Ohio,
I think.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I'm not going to be surprised if the number 12 doesn't come back out for Sam Hornish next year.
As long as they got some money. Same old story. If they can get somebody to pay the bills, you know. Racing's always better when you're doing OP money, other people's money. You know?
Well, and that's what racing's all about, no matter what level it's on.
Oh, yeah, heavens, yeah. We saw that this weekend. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I would love to see Hornish stay in and see just how well he gets his career advances and staying in the cup to do it.
Well, and again, nothing against A.J. Allmendinger, but I think we're going to see the first prediction come true. I think he's going to open wheel, and he'll be in the IRL next year. Now, there was even a little rumor going around that it could be a little bit of both, but we'll have to wait and see how that, you know, rides out. But
yeah, that's tough to do. That really makes for a hectic schedule for practice and shaking down cars and being two different places at once and stuff. That's, you know, when those guys did the Indy Charlotte thing a couple of times, I was very impressed by that. But, man, oh, man, that's just doing that over a course of a season or a half a season has got to take a toll on your body and your head and your stress. I mean, burning the candle at both ends. Heck, we do that on a local basis, and we're whipped comes Thursday night or Friday and can't wait for the weekend so we can go do something and burn up more time. But that'd be tough on them guys. And you have to be sharp. I mean, you're still going around a racetrack at 200 miles an hour, and it's not an undangerous game by any stretch. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, you ask Danica Patrick; she feels like she's in a much better car, being in an, you know, obviously a stock car than the open wheel. But I think part of that is she was around when Dan Weldon had his accident, unfortunately. But well, that's a whole other story.
That'll certainly spook you. And oh, I believe NASCAR cars and nationwide cars are far and away safer than Indy cars.
Definitely.
There's no doubt about it. And when you see a friend get hurt and killed like that, why, that'll rattle your cage.
Well, and again, that's why they ended their season early and not racing at Vegas on year two of their three-year agreement, which they may come up with next year. But we'll talk about that later. Let's go to NHRA. You know, we talked about all season long how the NHRA in the Pro Stock motorcycle, the Harley-Davidson has just been very, very dominant when it comes to their division this year. And you got the Huronas. You got juniors. You got senior, although they're not called senior and junior, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
Andrew Hines or Eddie Krawiec. And both of them are teammates.
Yep.
Both sets of them are. And again, NHRA comes up with rule changes. And Kenny, I've admitted to you, I haven't got a full understanding on that. Hopefully, we'll get Scott Smith to explain that to us a little bit from the NHRA, and we'll try and get a little bit better handle on it. But whatever they did, and the slight changes or the major changes they have,
hard to measure.
Hard
to measure because both the Ron is red lighted.
That's true.
Dad red lighted in the first round, but he went. Just 1/1,000th over.
Right.
Just, you couldn't red light any closer than what he red lighted, I don't think. And then Junior red lighted in the second round, and he did it against the guy who ended up winning the whole thing. If your name wasn't Arana or you rode a Harley, you weren't in the semis or the finals all year long. So finally, a little bit of variety for the pro stock motorcycle fans out there. And Kieran Stoffer didn't quite get the job done. Michael Ray comes out of there and wins his first event of the year. And I am sure he is just floating over that.
Oh, I'm sure he is. And Kieran Stoffer, I mean, you know, an amazing run by her. She's had some issues this year. She actually had to, because of brakes that she lost, she ended up at one point had to go into the cornfield and the sand, messed up her hand. And she was, you know, actually a favorite that weekend because she was running so well. But, again, amazing that, the four big Harley-Davidson guys are out. But, you know, they're so far out in front, everybody else in points, it really doesn't matter.
And Stoffer also had the best reaction time of the weekend at a 009, so she almost cut a perfect light, which happens two or three times a year, but it's extremely rare, but it's really, really hard to do. And when you've got a 009, man, that's quick. That's getting out of the gate well. You know your clutch, you know your acceleration rates, you know your tire grip, you know your bike, and wow, that's neat. Good to see her do well.
Yeah, and again, you know, we've interviewed her in the past, and she's been a joy and good to watch. But it was kind of nice not to see one of the big four win, you know, every once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but how about our buddy in Top Fuel?
Oh, my God.
Love these things.
Bob Tasca III. We've interviewed him three or four times. He is just a ball of energy, and if you love an East Coast accent, he's got her thicker than thick. And, you know, you don't have to ask too many questions of Bob. He'll get out there, and you lob a softball up there, he'll knock it from here to Indianapolis. I mean, he'll just talk, and he just doesn't ramble. It's interesting. He tells you things that at least from my standpoint, I really enjoy listening to him, and we've got to try and get him on again here in the next, I don't know, month or two, maybe at the end of the season, because this is his first big show that he's won. So I'm sure, although they didn't make the chase, they certainly want to play the spoiler role. And well, when you win and you beat Matt Hagen, who also didn't make the chase, it's an interesting weekend for both of those teams. None of the Force cars got out of the second round. Got Pendergon and Caps ended up in the semis. Just a good weekend for Bob Tasca III and his Ford Mustang.
Well, you know, and we talk about that because both Hagen and Tasca III barely made it. You know what I'm saying? Or barely got put out of the countdown.
Yeah, just barely.
And you know they're just ready to go. And it's got to be really frustrating, you know, for Matt Hagen. But we only got a couple of minutes, so we're going to have to bust out some more here. Let's talk about Pro Stock.
Final after that.
I didn't quite catch what all the drama was, but apparently this Dave Connolly guy, who has raced against Erica Enders and won in Indianapolis, who is her crew chief and also driving his car, apparently there's some animosity starting to go on because all of a sudden, now that she's made the countdown, her car isn't doing very well.
Oh, and that's a fluke more than anything. She was doing well in Indianapolis and won a couple of races right before that and stuff, and it's just these cars are so stinking close. I mean, she was runner-up this week.
Yes.
And then Johnson just, I'm looking for some times in this thing. He's flying quite as fast as I want it to. Come on. Get the Wi-Fi to move just a little bit quicker and stuff. But you just don't finish first, second, first, and fourth in the last 4 or 5 weeks and not really be on your game. And she's another one of these gals that came up from junior dragsters and worked her way up the chain of command. And NHRA does a good job of that. They don't let you just, if your dad's Paul Menard and he can write a big fat check, turn you loose on a race car. Or Kyle Petty, who's about the only guy that actually did okay and turn you loose in a race car. The people who work their way up from even the karting world on up seem to be better drivers, whether it's NHRA, Oval Track, or what have you. And that's the way Erica come up through the ranks. And she's got it figured out. And it wouldn't surprise me if she ends up in a Top Fuel or a Funny Car in the next few years.
She doesn't want to go. She told us that in the interview.
Well, they all say that.
I know.
Right in the middle of the season, you don't want to say anything to make a sponsor go, ooh,
once again, Team Schumacher in the Top Fuel go for the finals. And the third driver, Tony Schumacher, was put out by the eventual semifinalist, Spencer Massey and Antron Brown, going for the title. Antron whips up and beats him. And that's 3 weeks in a row for Spencer Massey in the semifinal or the final. It's just getting beat. And you could tell down in Indianapolis he had a rough time taking that one. But a good job by the Schumachers once again. Well, there you go. There's the NHRA. Week number two for them in their countdown. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome back. Again, Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner coming at you. Tiny back there behind the board making us look good. Kenny? We've talked about the national stuff, and as you know, our new show, we're going to talk some local, even though it's national in some points. We're going to talk all about the local tracks, the ARCAs, and all that. Let's talk about, we got a chance to go down to the second oldest track. I got that right this time, right? Because you told
Third. Close.
First time
it's
I said
top
four.
Five.
Top five, yeah. I'll get it right. I'm going to have to tattoo that on my forehead and bring a mirror every next time I come over to the studio. But, hey, it was a great show down there. It was fun to watch. We watched somebody with a great racing name win. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good race.
Yeah, it was a pretty good day. A lot of car count. We were pleasantly surprised at the car count when we started taking note of it upstairs. Johnny Van Dorner, who's probably going to be a three-time champion in CRA Super Series, ARCA, I guess it's called ARCA CRA Late Model Super Series this year, pretty much had a handle on everybody. He got out front and just put it on cruise control. Had two or three or four car length lead all day long. Some guys would get a little bit close to him. He'd turn up the wick a little bit. Yeah, drove a really smart race. That look out for that car in the 400 here in about 3 or 4 weeks. He's going to be really, really tough to beat. Casey Spillers, right out of our hometown of Fort Wayne, won a very exciting sportsman race. The young kid that I think is about 14, looks about 12, that gave him all the bad time, was running a crate motor car, and that's why he could go in the corner so doggone deep and just about tag KC four or five different times. Where KC had to get on the brakes, he was still rolling through the corner, but didn't have any acceleration to get out. So as long as KC kept it straight, he did well. The kid burned the tires off the car, got the right rear mad at him, and he ended up third, I think, when that day was over with. The Modifieds, another local Fort Wayne car, you know, we probably shouldn't brag about that, but we're gonna. Co Motorsports Modified, driven by Terry Fisher Jr., won that race. Jason Thompson, a CRA Street Stock competitor from Indianapolis, Indiana, took care of the street stock division. And, you know, you hear the word street stock, and that really is doesn't justify what these cars do. They really remind me of the NASCAR cars of the late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
Stout, solid, surprisingly fast, good drivers. These guys don't tear stuff up, if you notice. I've been to 8 or 9 of their shows. They really don't wreck that often. So a lot of these other people get a little, overzealous or over-anxious or just try to do too much at once. These guys usually drive with their head on their shoulders and do a really good job.
Yeah, but you forgot we had how many cautions from wrecks. And the one...
Not the street stocks,
though. Really fun. Yeah, it was street stocks.
Well, they didn't tear that many up. It seemed like a long time because we had two wreckers. One of them broke. So
yeah, there were street cars out.
Yeah. It took forever to get them off the racetrack. But, and then our favorite of the day, the compacts. And Cliff got a chance to talk to the winner of that. And I don't know, should we spoil the name now or should we just...
Well, no, I mean, we could go ahead and talk about it. You know, if you know the name Bigelow... And there's Tom and who else? I mean, there's so many Bigelows around here.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. There's a Don. There's a Dan. There's a Tom Jr. There's another one. There's a Rachel or something in the mix here.
Yeah, but they've been with
Big
USAC.
Oh, yeah. And Tom Sr., Grandpa, raced in the Indianapolis 500. So it's been a name around racing for an awful long time. And a young lady named Stephanie Bigelow won the compact feature down there at Winchester. Really a neat deal.
Yeah, a little bit back on that a little bit. We've talked to Stephanie for, what, 3 or 4 years, and it's funny how we actually ran into her. She was, dating one of the racers from Fort Wayne at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the real bizarre thing was is we went for an NHRA event in Indianapolis, and she was an intern.
Yeah, she was working for Scott Smith down at the – in the tower down in Indy, and we kind of all looked at each other and said, we know her. So one of us finally got brave and walked up to her, and she's just a sweetheart, really friendly. Just like we're old enough now, I guess you could say, talked like a father-daughter kind of a thing, and it was really neat. At one time she crashed her car down in Indianapolis and at Raceway Park, whatever it's called now. And we threatened to go down there and put her face on the wall and say, if you hit this face, you get a free bag of popcorn, you know. So, and she took all that in great stride, and it was a lot of fun. And she's been learning, getting faster by leaps and bounds. And when she got out front, man, I was even a little bit nervous for her. And I'm sitting there calling the race, and I had to watch my voice inflection and everything. And I was really proud of her and really happy for her. And that trophy really was taller than her by probably 6 inches when they handed that thing to her.
I've got the pictures,
I know. It was really neat.
It was very awesome to see, and she was very excited. And let's go ahead and play that interview. All right, this is Cliff Speed Talk back at Winchester Speedway. First-time winner, Stephanie Bigelow.
Thank you so much. It feels really great to be at Winchester, where I grew up, where I watched my dad, where I watched my grandpa, and now finally it's my turn. Like, how cool is that?
Well, yeah, it's got to be a great feeling. I mean, because the Bigelows are from around here. God knows they've got big names around Indiana.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to continue it. I just found out, actually, that I'm the third female to ever win at Winchester, so that's another great honor to be, like, in the top five. Number three to win at Winchester Speedway, and the first front-wheel drive winner to be a female. Like, that's just a great accomplishment for me and my family, and I just can't thank everybody enough for this. It's great.
Well, I know we've talked to you in the past, and I know you've always been, it's been your dream. And obviously, you do other things besides racing. But my God, I mean, take us through the last 5 or 10 laps. You came out through, you got that lead, and you just ran perfect.
Yeah, actually, when I got the lead, they were yelling, yellow, yellow, yellow. And I was watching the lights. I never saw a yellow came out, so I just kept smashing it down. I got the lead, and they were like, my bad, there's no yellow. I'm like, perfect for me. But my car in 3 and 4 kept turning off on me, so I kept smashing the gas, trying to get the gas to come back in. And, you know, thankfully, I had a good enough lead where they couldn't catch me because I would just drive it off of 2, you know, and I just kept telling myself and praying, you know. It wasn't me who had the wheels. Honestly, it wasn't me, but I just thank God and my family, and that's just amazing.
Have you stopped hyperventilating yet?
No, I haven't. I have stopped hyperventilating, crying, hugs. Like, I love it. It's the greatest feeling in the world. Now I know why I've worked so hard for 5 years and for this day.
So what's up next for Stephanie? Are we going to go up a class? Are we going to stay in this class? What are you going to do?
You know, I don't know. We finally got our rhythm in this class. Me and my brother both, because Tommy's racing, and he's, you know, been really close to winning as well. So our next race is the 400, so hopefully we can be 1-2 again. And then it's on to doing my PR work and with Eric Jones, and hopefully he can get away with the 400 too. And then after that, you know, I don't know. I'd like to go up, but, you know, I'm content right here because I'm just having fun. Just having
well, that's good, and we've got to get a hold of you because we've got to talk to Eric again before the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. You got my number.
All right, Stephanie, congratulations. And, man, it was great to be here to see that, all right?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Again, Stephanie Bigelow from Winchester. Well, and I got to tell you, folks, yes, I made a mistake. That was Stephanie Bigelow, and for some reason I thought that was still in the CRA series. Kenny informed me after the interview that I was wrong. And that's what happens when you're trying to run around in the thick of things and forgetting to carry your little press thing with you. Or press
well, and they change those things a lot on you, too. I mean, one year they're called this, and the next year they're called that. And CRA did carry that compact series, that front-wheel drive group, for 5 years, and this is the first year it's called the Vores Welding and Steel Compact Series, and I goof that up too once in a while, and it's only in front of 5,000 people at a time, and you know, the four or five people in the booth look at you, and I just grin and say, I was just testing you guys to see if you were on your toes. So, it's a neat division. I mean, again, that's another one that people probably doesn't give enough credit for or to. They sound like a bunch of angry bumblebees buzzing down the front stretch down there, but they put on a pretty good show. So it's well worth the price of admission.
I was really impressed because, you know, I've been to several tracks around the Indiana area, and I've watched some of those mini stocks, but I think that mini stock class is probably the most professional I've ever seen, if that makes any sense. I mean, they drove a smart race. They didn't get too crazy. Every once in a while you get an idiot in there that likes to, you know, bump and grind and all that. But Stephanie did a great job. I mean, she was, what, 18th at one time, and she came through that field. It was 14th or 18th is what she was telling me. But I got to tell you, when I went up to congratulate her after she was getting ready to get in her car, I expected a handshake and a good luck, but she hugged me just like I was a father, you know what I'm saying? And it was awesome, and it was even more exciting to talk to her, and she could barely breathe. And, you know, as you heard in the interview, I said, have you stopped hyperventilating yet? Now, this, keep in mind, this was almost a half hour after she won the race and still going on. But what a lot of people don't realize, if you've heard the name Eric Jones, and I'm sure you have, one of the hot young, now 16-year-old, but he started at 15, one of the hot ARCA drivers, and she is his PR man, so she's been helping us out, getting a little bit of action with Eric Jones as well.
Yeah, I got to tag on to that a little bit. I had to. That's a dumb word when you're doing something you love. I was blessed enough to do the on-track interview after she had won the race, and besides the hyperventilating and the tears, and I wanted to just grab her and hug her and say, I had a girl, and I couldn't do it because it just wasn't appropriate at the time. I waited till later and looked her up and talked to her then, but that was I got a little choked up too with her. You know, you just the emotions of success after you've been doing it forever, and you've seen Grandpa and you've seen Dad and you've seen everybody in family do that. It was just really, really neat. I know we're kind of beating it to death, but that just don't happen very often. There's only been three women that have won features at Winchester. One's named McCune. That's a huge name, Sarah McCune. Another one named Sarah Fisher. Everybody knows who that is. And now Stephanie Bigelow writes her name in Winchester lore.
Well, I got to tell you, it was a great show. Winchester put on a great show. And I'm telling you, folks, if you ever get a chance, you need to go see it because they will have another race on the 13th and 14th.
Yep, 12th, 13th, and 14th. It's the old Dry Power 400. They call it the Winchester 400 now. It'll be the 42nd running of. And I just read where one of my favorite drivers, I might get to interview him. Some guy named Bush is going to be down there running. So
there's a Bush down there?
Yeah, his name's Kyle. He comes in and he's won it a couple times.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, well, I haven't either, but
well, anyway,
good luck for me. All this bad-mouthing him for 2.5 years, and then I might have to talk nice to him in public.
We got another super show coming up. We got two left around this area, actually. We got one coming up at Lucas Oil Raceway Park. And again, 2 weeks from then, we're going to be back here in Winchester. And I don't know, Kenny, I think you said you're going to be going down. I'm going to go down for at least one day and check that out.
Yeah, I got invited back to do a little more PA work, and you know, you can't hardly say no to something like that, so You put life schedule around that, and we'll be down there, and we'll pray for no rain and a little bit of heat, because in October the weather's a little bit unpredictable. You could get chilly fast down there, and the place is packed, and there's campers galore.
Well, there you go. All right, folks, we need to take a break. When we come back, Kenny's going to do his now famous, or soon will be infamous, or famous,
I hope so,
or however you want to say it. Did you know? We'll talk a little bit about some other things going on in the world of racing locally. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email.
Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
All right, welcome back. Got Tiny behind the boards. Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner coming at you.
Hey.
Well, yeah, what the excitement in his voice today, isn't it?
We can do all sorts of stuff if you want. Not been any good.
We had a chance to talk with one of our other drivers, Josh Timmerman, who is a up-and-comer. He had a little bit of bad luck with his car this year. We had a chance to talk to him, and he's going to be down at the big show. And actually, Kenny invited us down to go down because they're going to have a big party also for his race team at a hotel down there. So all kinds of good things going on for him. But,
really? I didn't know about this.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to you about it.
That's
nice. We were invited. Great kid, and I know that's got to be hard for anybody when you're watching everybody race. And he's in the Sportsman Series on the CRA.
Right, right.
Could you explain to me real quick? I'm not exactly sure what the Sportsman is.
Well, it's less motor and less tires, basically.
Than the late model?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit different weight brake and stuff. Different suspension pieces and parts. The late model series can use better, more durable pieces and parts. And the Sportsman division is kind of like Nationwide is to the Cup cars. I mean,
gotcha.
They're very similar, but yet they have enough distinct differences where you're driving two different cars.
All right, folks, let's go ahead and listen to Josh and see what he had to say. All right, we're back here at Winchester Speedway once again for the big super show down here. Ran into somebody that y'all might remember. We haven't talked to him in a while, from the CRA Sportsman Division, and a car that we sponsor, Josh Timmerman. Josh, hey, man, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just out here getting ready for next week, our big race. We decided to stay home today to prepare, seeing as how we missed the last three times at Lucas Oil Raceway. So we're really excited for next week, but I'm just out here having fun, watching some good racing in Winchester, and seeing all my friends.
I'll tell you what, it has been dynamite racing, but let's talk about what's been going on with you. You know, we talked a little bit, you found some issues with the car, getting it all fixed up.
Yeah, definitely. We had some engine troubles about halfway through the season. We got that fixed up, and then we've got into an accident a few races ago at Anderson Speedway. So had some troubles, but we're getting it fixed up, and I think the car is going to be really, really good next week at Lucas Oil Raceway.
Well, you was telling me also that one of your favorite tracks is Lucas Oil. Talk about what you got to do to win there and why you feel so comfortable there.
I don't know what it is. We had one good race out there in 2010, and I just love the way, you know, it's a fast racetrack. I love the way you drive it in the corners and kind of hanging around the top all the way around down the one and two, and then down the back straightaway, and then down the front straightaway. So we're just looking forward to it, man. We're looking forward to having a lot of fun.
Talk about a little bit after that, and you're coming down here to Winchester here.
Yeah, definitely. At one time, it'll be the Winchester 400 weekend, so we've got a lot of good seat time here at Winchester this year. Looking forward to capping it off, and we've got lots of really exciting things going on this winter. So we're looking to kind of keep our momentum going and get that into the winter and come out really strong next year.
What things do you think you need to change or need to take care of over the winter?
Well, we're definitely upgrading our chassis. We're going into, one of our friends in the Super Series is helping us out, going to do some work for us. So we're working on getting our front end geometry right, which is super important with these cars. And a lot of it's sponsorship. We're working on sponsors. We're really close on a couple of different things. So I'm really excited. I'm ready for next year already.
So are you going to stay in the sportsman division then?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case. The sportsman's and maybe hit Bearfield and Angola, hopefully. It just kind of have to see how the schedule works out and you know, how that all works out.
First, we got to hope there's a Bearfield next year.
Yeah, definitely. I got to run there once this year. We didn't do very well, but, you know, hey, we had fun. It's fun to go back up there every once in a while and see all our friends that we made over the last couple of years.
Well, you got to promise me one thing, Josh. If you win next week, man, we got to be one of the first people you come.
Absolutely. Will do. I look forward to that.
All right, Josh Timmerman. Hey, man, good luck next week and the rest of the year. And we'll be talking over the winter.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot again. Josh Timmerman from Winchester Speedway. All right, that was Josh Timmerman. Look forward to seeing him some more. And we've already confirmed, I guess is the word I'm looking for, he's also going to be sponsored by us next year as well. So that's kind of cool. We're going to have some good times. But anyway, what's so funny?
Yeah. Not a thing.
They've got to keep something going, right?
I'll keep it just grinning at you. Something I didn't know we're doing that either, but that's okay. Well, I like Josh. Josh's a good guy. He's got a good crew. The Families of Hope organization is with him. We like those a lot. And keeping relationships with folks like that, whether they're champions or just weekly runners, are very important in my mind.
All right, Kenny, we're running out of time, so let's go with your new segment.
Hey, this week's Did You Know is again brought to you by Wish for Our Heroes. Wish for Our Heroes, helping military men and women all over the world. Check them out at wishforourheroes.org. This week's Do You Know. Hey, do you know who actually won the fight on the backstretch in 1979 at the Daytona 500 between the Allison brothers and Cale Yarborough? Let me set the stage for you a little bit because it has been a couple of days since it's actually happened. 1979, the East Coast and part of the Midwest were blanketed in snow. CBS had decided to, the first time ever, run a flag-to-flag broadcast and happened to be the second NASCAR race of the year, the Daytona 500. A rather uneventful race till late in the race when Donnie Allison and Cale Yarborough started beating and banging and crunching on each other for the last couple laps. They come out of two. They both lost it, hit the wall. Richard Petty actually slipped by both of them and won. I think it was his fifth or sixth Daytona 500 at the time. But brother Bobby Allison decided that Cale Yarborough did brother Donnie dirty, so he decided to stop by and pay a little bit of a visit, and here come the fisticuffs. The camera angles aren't super good, and you can't really tell who won the fight, but I heard a roundtable discussion years later between Yarborough and the Allison brothers that Yarborough's nose kept running right into Bobby's fist for some reason or another, and Bobby was smart enough to keep his helmet on, so you got to give him credit for that. But you think about this. Who won the fight?
The Hilljack brothers.
We won the fight. The fans won the fight.
That's right.
CBS won the fight. ESPN won the fight. Fox won the fight. TNT won the fight. And every guy who can't afford to go to a NASCAR race that wants to follow it every week, won the fight. One of the few things that I don't think NASCAR staged, staged a few, like Richard's 200th win, et cetera, but this one was all natural, and it was just huge, and that got that 800-pound gorilla. Well, it was only about 200-pound gorilla at the time, but it got that 800-pound gorilla named NASCAR going and going well.
Well,
guess what? Now, you know.
I disagree. I think Cale Yarborough won the whole thing.
Did he?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Sorry.
Hey, well, you know, when you get a couple of rum runners, you know, in the hills over there, beating on one guy, I mean, that's just dirty pool. But you're right.
Well, his brother Leroy wasn't around. He just couldn't come over there and help him. So, you know, Cale had to hold his own, and I guess he did. You know, they all come out of there fairly unscathed. Nobody went to the hospital. Nobody had anything broken. But and they're great friends right now. I mean, it was a cool thing.
Great friends then.
For a few minutes they weren't, right. But yeah. Yep, and that's when racers were racers and men were men, and they didn't have power steering on the cars much, and you had to be tough to go 500 miles on any given weekend. So you had to manhandle those race cars back then.
Yeah, and that was one of the greatest things I ever saw. Still to this day in NASCAR, I think that was one of the best finishes, you know.
Yeah, and fans, if you want to YouTube that, I'm sure it's all over YouTube yet.
Oh, God, yes.
And you want to have an opinion on who actually won the physical fight, yeah, let us know at either Cliff at RadioSpeedTalk.com or Kenny at RadioSpeedTalk.com. I'm glad to entertain your opinions.
Well, we got another issue coming up. We got a track up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that is getting ready to enter his 50th season. We had a promoter. The guy's been all over the place. He's had Avila, he's had Fort Wayne, and I think
Plymouth.
Plymouth, yeah, and there was another one, too.
Yeah, he's promoted
been around.
Several.
Been around for a long time. His health's been going down. He's had some issues with weather the last couple of years. All along, he's told me, I'm going to make it to the 50th, and then I'm going to retire. Announced this week, ain't going to happen. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, there's a lot of people lined up to inquire about it. And from what I understand, there's just an awful lot of logistics that's going to have to be worked out. You know, every 2 or 3 years, somebody squawks about the airport wanting to buy that land. Now I hear that they're going to expand something else. The Air National Guard over there, and they want some sort of security perimeter, and they happen to be right in the middle of the security perimeter. So the U.S. government might be looking at that chunk of land, and I think the word is eminent domain might come into play with that whole thing. So it really depends on all the things you can work out. I mean, if you can get a guarantee for a 10-year window that they're not going to come in and just take it away from you, maybe somebody will actually buy the place and fix it up and make the restrooms nice and put new grandstands in and fix the front stretch wall and make the catch fence a little bit safer looking and stuff. If not, it's going to continue to run like it has been. It's going to be leased, and they're going to do minimum function of mow the grass and make sure the track's dry to go racing, and it'll stay where it's at as a second-tier racetrack. Although it's our second-tier racetrack, and I've got a lot of time in there, and my dad's got a bunch of time, and some of my heroes growing up all were champions over there at one time or another. So
we've had some big names come down, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Allisons have both raced there. Rusty Wallace, when he was just a poofy-haired kid in ASA, was down there, and Joey Fair, who is the hot shoe that just passed away out of Michigan, has come down a lot, and Danny Bird from Toledo, and Wayne Lensing out of Rockford, Illinois. They used to run a race called the Hoosier 200. It would bring a bunch of big names. Bob Seneker, who run the Dry Power 400 about 300 times, I think. I know he won it 5 in a row. I think he put 7 together all total. There's just been an awful lot of big names. Scott Stovall, an ARCA champ. Moose Myers, an ARCA champ. Iggy Catone has raced there. Tiny Lund has raced. I could go on for quite a while.
Yeah, we don't have a whole show, Beth.
Well, I know. I saw Tawny give us the two fingers.
But you know what? I still think one of my favorite, funniest interviews I ever had was Rich Bickle when he raced down there 2 years ago.
You know, I've never heard that.
Yeah, you have never heard that? You got to listen to it because he calls them the NASCAR Mafia.
Oh,
He wasn't a pretty boy, and that's why he didn't get very far in NASCAR. It was quite an interesting interview. It was great. If you ever get a chance, go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, look up Rich Bickle. It was awesome. He was very candid on what he felt about NASCAR.
That's why I like our First Amendment rights. You can say just about anything and not get in trouble for doing it.
Well, especially if you're still not driving for NASCAR. Ask the Bush brothers.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, folks, again, man, I hope you enjoyed the show. All kinds of things going on. Again, catch us at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Kenny, your handle over there on Twitter?
@ KennyBar52.
And I'm
my
at
dad's
Radio
old race car number.
Sorry about that. And I'm at Radio Speed Talk, too. Again, you can go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Check us out there. Hey, let us know what you think about the show, any direction you might want us to go, all that good stuff. Again, another fun-filled week at the track at Winchester. Looking forward to some more before it's all over with. And again, stick with us. We've got a lot of cool interviews coming up. Thanks to Josh Timmerman and Stephanie Bigelow for giving us a little bit of their time and bringing them on. For Tiny and Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner, I'm out of here. We're out of here.
Don't forget Hermie.
Oh, and Hermie. Yeah, sitting over there with a sore tooth. All right, guys. We're going to see you next week. We're out of here.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, ProIndy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo!
More!
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 Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.